The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside, and this is issue 87. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And of course, we have my daughter Megan, because apparently John and I can't do this without her. I know I can't. I'm not that bright. We also learn John just needs gold bars and apple pie. And at the end, there's a little bit of DJ bashing. John and Meg gang up on me at the end, but it's all fun. We had a really good time. Hope you guys do too, so let's head into the store. Hey, John. Hi. Wait a minute. You two are down here hanging out without me? What's going on? You started the show. What have you been talking about? You two sitting here hanging out?
We're cutting you out.
Yeah, exactly. Meg, would you catch an early flight to come down here, Meg? Hang out with John all by yourself?
Yeah, I wanted the warmer weather.
There you go.
Hey, we're cutting you out, but you have to do all the editing still.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You gotta do all the work.
We'll still give you a producer credit. Just shut up.
That's right.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So you guys having a good time?
Always.
Yeah.
Meg decided to come down here to Texas to get in where a store she can actually go into.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Do some shopping. And hanging out with a lovely store owner.
Exactly.
That's me.
Meg probably doesn't know this yet. I don't think she's listened to our Thursday podcast yet.
Probably not.
How are things going with you in D.C.? Update?
Oh, we're still on the outs.
Still.
They haven't sent me flowers or candy yet.
No.
Nope. So.
I think it's going to take more than flowers and candy.
It is.
Yeah. This is that.
I'll keep it PG.
Yeah.
But I was going to say something and I forgot where I was.
Yeah, that's my daughter there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like in high school and we're just hanging out.
Nope.
All right. So we have no books to talk about. We have no FOCs that we have from last week to comment on. So I think we can get right to Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Sounds good to me.
I will play this trailer, and we will have multiple comments on this lovely film.
Okay. I feel like you're being facetious.
It's changing out there. There's a storm coming, Harry. Just like last time.
The Ministry of Magic is pleased to announce the appointment of Dolores Jane Umbridge as High Inquisitor to address the falling standards at Hogwarts School.
Things at Hogwarts are far worse than I feared.
Enough!
You have been told that a certain dark wizard is at large. This is a lie.
It's not a lie. I saw it.
We've got to be able to defend ourselves. And if Umbridge refuses to teach us how, we need someone who will.
Every great wizard in history has started out as nothing more than what we are now. If they can do it, why not us?
Sort of exciting, isn't it? Stupefy! Breaking the rules.
Who are you and what have you done with Hermione Granger?
You're a really good teacher, Harry.
The Ministry's gonna have a full uprising on their hands.
It's your turn now.
Discipline your mind.
We're in this together.
If Voldemort's building up an army, then I want to fight.
Look for me!
Harry Potter, you will lose everything.
My first takeaway after seeing that trailer, after watching the movie, I hate that teacher.
Which one? Dolores?
What's her name?
Umbridge.
Dolores Umbridge? Yeah.
She is awful. And the trailer doesn't do her justice.
Yeah, no, she's a piece of work, for sure.
Oh, the entire time I watched that, I'm like, I hated her. And which is great, because that's what you're supposed to do, I assume. Like her, I think you have issues.
Probably.
Yeah, she's not a sympathetic character at all.
No. Oh, man. It just, every time she did something, I'm like, why would you even write a person that's that awful?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I know you guys, I'm sure you have way more in-depth questions, but
I've seen it twice, so I don't have that much more than you do, man.
Well, you guys, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but
I just watched the series once. It's not like I have all this knowledge of Harry Potter.
I just always feel you two bring so much more to the table, and I'm just like, yeah, you're just a spectator. Like,
I was raised by you.
Oh, I know.
The only reason I think the way I do is because you raised me.
You know what question I have that this movie, like I got from watching the beginning of this movie that I didn't think about and now I can't stop thinking about? How come Voldemort only wants to kill Harry during the school year? Like, he seems to give him the summer off every year.
Like, I know.
He only wants to kill him from August till May, and then he's good, you know?
Meg watched the end of this with me tonight, and I was like, at the end of it, when they were all going back to school, spoilers, when they're all going home for the summer, and they're right. Like, we'll be back next year. I really thought
nobody's going to try anything while they're gone.
Right, exactly. And all these thoughts went through my head of like, okay, so I know we talked in a couple episodes, or maybe the last episode, that the multiple schools were involved. And like you said, John, that it was like Voldemort wants to take over the planet. So you'd think all the schools would get involved with this. And now it's taken us to episode 5 to be like, what, they get their summers off? And it's like,
right.
But I thought this tonight when the movie ended and the credits are rolling, and I wanted to save it for the podcast. It's funny you brought it up first. But I was like, I remember being in like 3rd or 4th grade and thinking, remember the books you got for like grammar or whatever? And you always saw the year ahead and it was like Honeycomb or whatever. And it was a purple book. And I remember being in 3rd grade being like, in 4th grade, you're going to have to do the Honeycomb book. And I had a friend that was in 4th grade already. And I'm like, that book's really hard. That's going to be tough. And I'm like, all I had to deal with was like that book called Honeycomb. Right. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, have a good summer. We might die next year at school.
Because if that's the case, like, don't you get to August when you know you have 2 weeks till you have to start going back to school? And you're like, oh my God, they're going to start trying to kill me again.
Like, how about you transfer?
Can I go somewhere else? Right. Like,
go
can I just
to
go back to public school?
School?
Like, you expelled me from Hogwarts at the beginning, and I'm okay with that because I guess they only want to kill me if I'm there.
Right.
So
drop the wand, pick up a golf club, go someplace else.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing.
There are kids' parents saying in this one, though, like the kid at the beginning who was like, oh, my mom almost didn't let me come back because of everything that's been in the news. Like,
right. It
was in the news. I don't know, like, I forget how the next movie leads up, but, like, I feel like Voldemort had to get a following during this. And the last, and, like, he actually, like, became Voldemort again during the spring. So yeah, you got that summer off. And now, like, you always had your summers off because you were a kid and Voldemort wasn't around again. And then he had to build his army.
Right.
And now we don't know. Yeah. Now maybe you won't get the summer off. You're hoping you do.
You get a reprieve. Right. You get a reprieve.
Yeah. Actually, you guys both know what happens next. For all I know, the summer goes.
I don't really remember.
South.
I don't either. That's the whole thing. I don't really. I mean, I kind of
like,
know the gist of how
I know.
The story ends, but I'll have to watch each movie again to, you know, because I had to watch this one again. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to talk about it at all.
I know what happens, but I don't know, like, the seasons that it's happening in. Like, I'm not, you know.
Right.
I'm not a super pothead yet, so I have to watch them a few more times.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying them one at a time, one-offs.
And it's almost going to be like, not to get too political, but if What's-Her-Name doesn't shut her mouth, we're not going to be able to watch and talk about these movies anymore.
Because, oh, right.
Yeah, I don't...
Because nobody's going to want to have anything to do with Harry Potter, so...
Yeah, I saw there's a segment of people saying that now, but... Yeah. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I try not to get involved.
It's not the forum to bring it up, yeah. But... It's like, but yeah, if you're interested, go back and look. It's pretty interesting. But she seems to keep putting her foot in her mouth every other month or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Who doesn't nowadays? I'm sure I have.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but we don't have the platform that she has. Like, I can say dumb stuff all day long and really past the person I'm talking to, nobody knows about it. But, like, she has, you know, millions of followers, so
right. If
she says something, it gets out there.
That's true. Now I even forget what my question. Oh,
I know I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That teacher, what's her name?
Umbridge.
Yeah.
Umbridge.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, Dolores.
Did we ever find out? Like, did she have a purpose, or is that just how she is? Like, was she sent there with a purpose to do that for a reason? Did I miss that?
Yeah. Did you see? She was. Did you note? Like, did you recognize that she was part of the hearing at the beginning of Harry's hearing? Yeah, so she
just
because
Harry says it. She was at my hearing.
Yeah, she just like serves the ministry, and the minister is scared of Dumbledore. He thinks Dumbledore is coming after his job. He's not focused on like, oh, Voldemort's actually back. He just thinks Dumbledore wants his job as the minister. So he sent Umbridge to Hogwarts to kind of keep everything.
Seems to all be political spin, you know?
Right.
Spin doctoring, you know? Because I don't remember. I don't think she has – like, I don't think there's a truly evil purpose necessarily behind what she's doing.
She just goes on a power trip when she gets there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she kind
of
did
kind
go
of all
little...
in service of the minister, not necessarily Voldemort. You know, like, it's not –
right.
Yeah, I don't think the minister is a good
person,
but
– yeah. But like I said, it's more politically motivated than anything.
Oh. And I know the whole, like, Voldemort thing is – people don't believe he exists anymore, which I think is in there, or they're refusing to believe it.
Well, and that's what that's kind of what he wants, right? Because they say that there's that line later on where, like he wants him to feel like he's alone.
Yeah, they want,
I forget exactly what he said, but he's like, Voldemort has power if he if you believe that you're alone. It's kind of like the same line that was in Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's what it made me think of that. Like, you know, that's how they win, by making you feel like you're fighting alone. And that's kind of like the same thing that was happening here.
Yeah, I did pick up on that it was, like you said, it was that feeling of alone. I didn't feel like it was as prevalent as it was in Rise of Skywalker, and how they portrayed it there.
No, but the sentiment was the same.
Yeah.
Right. Like they made, I guess they didn't carry it on. Like it was like said once.
That's
but
what
then
I mean.
They kind of moved on from it.
Right.
You know, they didn't keep bringing it up and talking about it.
I feel like though, as like a teenage movie, like as a kid, if the whole world was like, if people were coming up to you at school and saying, my mom thinks you're a liar and I think you're a liar and everybody thinks you're lying about this huge, horrible thing that happened to you, like, I don't know. I'd feel pretty alone. I feel alone if somebody forgets to text me back. Like, I don't – I would feel pretty alone if the whole world was doing that to me, and even, like, my government was telling me, oh, like, we don't believe you. You're telling us this and you're trying to warn us and help us and we don't believe you. Sorry.
Yeah, because I think he said he was 14, right? Like, he, even though D-Rad at this point looks like he's about 20.
All the kids age
dramatically.
I think
he said the character,
in this one.
He said something like, I've been waiting 14 years for this or something. So I think he's supposed to be 14. And yeah, you're right. At that age.
Yeah, like, can you imagine?
If all those people were giving you that message.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be pretty tough to deal with. So
I think his whole life's already been tough to deal with. And now, like, everybody just telling him he's trying to lie to everybody and put.
But they never say why he would, like, what would be his reason for making all that up? Like, that's the one thing. It's like, what is he gaining by that? I guess just attention.
Exactly.
Because
you're a teenager.
That was going to be my answer. Teenagers.
Like, why would I be making all this up, you know?
Well, I mean, think about it. It's like you're a teacher at a place like that. I mean, kids are looking for attention. And what kind of kid is looking for attention is a lonely kid. A kid with, you know, he has no family. The family that he comes from is horrible to him. He's just looking for some kind of attention. So, I mean, that's not really a stretch. But there's other ways to get attention, but,
well, yeah.
All right. So in real life, he was actually 18.
Yeah. He 18. Looks 18.
Yeah. When this came out. So I thought he said it was 14 or 15. So it's not that big of a stretch. And
no, but I mean, it's a big difference. Think about, you know, we just talked about it on the last show. The difference with you from freshman year to senior year, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You went from 4'10 with a squeaky voice to like 6 foot, you know?
Right.
So,
to 6 foot with
I mean, that's a big difference from 14
with an annoying voice.
Yeah. Well, your words, not mine.
You didn't argue.
Well, you could put up a fight. I was there.
Yeah, I know. I was there. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's the first thing I noticed when this movie started is that they all age dramatically
even from movie 4 to movie 5.
Yes.
Yeah, they like all,
and it really keeps going. Like by the time they get to the end of movie, which is really 8.
Right.
Yeah. They look like full grown adults by then.
I like it though, 'cause I feel like the, just because of the way it was written and the way it comes out and the people that started reading it at the beginning, I feel like the movie and the actors and the plot ages with the audience. So as the characters get older, I feel like the plot gets more serious and it gets more like in depth and adult like.
Yeah,
like it gets more mature every time just because, and then the actors are getting older so they can also portray more mature messages. I think it's pretty cool, especially because the audience definitely went that way too with it, because it is a children's book. To start out, it's a children's book,
right,
and then it kind of is like young adult. I don't know. Like,
yeah, because by this movie, we're kind of really we're deep into it by now. You mm-hmm. know, like because the one thing that struck me as I was watching this is that these are no longer like they're not standalone movies anymore. You know,
yeah.
Like this one really feel because a lot of even though movies like even take like the MCU movies for instance, even though they're all interconnected. Every one can kind of stand on its own. Like, you can go watch it without having really seen any of the other ones and still get it. But this one felt to me like this really was entrenched in the story by now.
Yeah.
Like, this by itself doesn't make a lot of sense because as a movie as a whole, like, not a really lot happened in this movie. It just felt like it was bridging and advancing the story.
So is this like a civil war? Like an MCU civil war? Because like...
But even that movie, you could just watch it on its own.
Yeah, you can.
I just kind of felt like this one, as an individual entity, wouldn't have made a lot of sense and like didn't really have a compelling beginning and middle and end to it. Where it just felt like it was part of the narrative. Meg, you look like you want to tell me
I'm
stupid.
This is my favorite out of all of them.
I'm not saying it's not good.
I don't think it could stand alone, but I think it's extremely compelling.
Taking out of context, though, it doesn't do anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it has to be part of the narrative.
Right.
And I just think it's interesting because not a lot of movies go that way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they really try to usually make them so they all stand on their own. And I felt like watching this one, if you weren't... No, I don't know who was watching movie 5 without seeing the first 4 anyways, but... I just feel like if you came into this one cold, you couldn't follow along.
But they came from books, and you don't really pick up a book five books in and read that. Like I think it's probably a movie trying to stick to the books as much as possible. I mean, I haven't read all the books, so I should. So
I haven't either,
but I can't. But I'm sure they're trying to stick to the books as much as possible, and you'd be a fool to pick up book 5 and just think you're gonna get it because you should, because that's the way they should do it. Like, I don't think that's
I agree with that, but I still feel like you could have popped into any of the first 4 movies cold and like it was an interesting movie on its own without having seen the other ones.
Honestly,
whereas this one I don't think you could do
I think you could just because of the popularity of Harry Potter and, you know, the basis of, like, I just think because of, just because of the world now and how connected everything is and how much you know about movies and stuff, I feel like you just know who Harry Potter is and you kind of know the basis of the story, even if you're not, just like if you're not Catholic, you know who, or Christian, you know who Adam and Eve is and you know the story.
Right.
Like, that's a, it's a common thing to know, it, even if you don't, even if you don't believe in it or if you don't, like, study it or anything. So I feel like you could pop into it. Like, I saw the Harry Potter play before I had seen any, and it comes after all the movies, before I had seen any of the movies, and I thought it was phenomenal. I would love to see it again because I would get so much more out of it. I would get so much more out of it.
Obviously.
But I thought it was great. I was so happy. I was having a great time there, and I was, I raved about it. And so I think you could. I don't think it'd be the best idea. Just like it probably wasn't the best idea to see that first. But
I'm not trying to take away at all. And I still, I think it's a good movie too.
Yeah.
Like this was, it was good. I just felt like this was the first one that really didn't stand on its own. Like you had to really be into the narrative for this one. Otherwise it, taken as an individual thing, it didn't accomplish, I just don't think it accomplished a whole lot. You know?
So, yeah, I was think I thought the same thing during the movie in that, remember one of our earliest conversations the three of us had is I asked you guys, is there a purpose here? Because the early ones felt like, okay, here's just a Harry Potter story. And then the second one felt like a Harry Potter story. And I really didn't see a lot of
thread. Yeah, it was like kind of movie three, I think, where they start to
and you guys had explained
become
to
more
me,
connected.
Yeah, yeah, that you had like John. I think you had binged them and you flew through.
Yeah,
them.
I watched them all in
and Meg did
a week
too,
or so a week and a half.
Right, so it was probably like episode, probably Harry Potter 2, whichever one that is, that we had this conversation. But I did feel kind of the same way as you, John, in that this one felt like okay, now this, now there's a thread. That there's a running theme, and this is, it's probably the first one where we really felt that way. And yes, I agree. It is, it's a good movie. It's fun to watch on its own. Probably one of my favorites as far as entertainment beginning to end. There's, you know, if you listen to my home theater podcast, I talked about it on Friday. There's an unbelievable scene that Meg was with me when we watched it. It's like it's like if you're at Disney in the theater. I mean, it's just a great scene. It's a lot of fun. But the whole movie is like Meg says it told me earlier today. She's like, it's like one of my favorite ones because it's so dark. There's so much to it.
Yeah.
And Meg, why don't you speak to that since you're here?
Well,
this is what Meg told me. I'll reiterate the whole thing for you.
I think it's fun because it's finally, I feel like it would be one of your favorites, Dad, because I feel like this whole time John and I have been saying like, oh, well, this is story building. This is story building. I feel like it's finally not story building anymore. It's story progressing. Like we're finally getting to see what's going to happen and kind of even in the next ones, you're going to still see like even more connections where we felt like this is a standalone movie and just a Harry Potter story. And you're going to be like, oh, you could connect this story into this and this story into this. And it's all these little things that happen throughout his life and they seem meaningless alone. But then once you put them all together from a later perspective, if you were to round the corner of a circle per se, you understand everything that's going to that happened and why it happened.
Where do you get that from? Look at you.
But I like this one. I just like all the characters in it. I like Sirius Black is one of my favorite characters since we met him. And I like the people. And I feel like we're finally at the point of, you know, who you can trust and who you can't, because it's been a weird play of like, who's this new person? Who's this new person? And now you get to see people from a bunch of different movies come back and they're allied. They're helping Harry. They're allied with him. And they're showing him all this stuff. And you get to find out all these kind of secrets of the past with the Order of the Phoenix and find out about people's parents. And I just love all of it, honestly. And you get to find out more about the kids because you find out about their parents too.
Yeah.
This was kind of the Avengers of the Harry Potter world, right? Like the whole the team came together.
Yeah, when they come together all in the end when they all like
you got like
swooshing.
Lupin and Mad-Eye Moody and all these guys come back and
yeah, it's so exciting.
you had met each one of them separately in previous movies. And
yeah, and you're like, oh, they've all been in cahoots.
Right.
Wow. I think I got to start watching these twice before we talk, because I'm like, I have that. I think that's the other reason I'm having a hard time keeping up with you guys. It's the second time you watch something, you can you really see this.
You pick up more. Yeah, exactly. You definitely pick up more.
Especially in this that this type of a movie, in this type of a franchise. But getting back to something Mega just said, in that you're learning to trust the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think is how you put it. What I thought was interesting in this movie, now I haven't seen them all, but yes, I know the Harry Potter mythos, and I assume he's a good guy all the way through. But in this movie, they actually put a shadow of doubt on Harry.
Mm-hmm. On Harry.
And
yeah.
That he could pretend, and I found that really interesting in the middle of the movie. It was like, again, John brought me to Star Wars, and
yeah, is he going to
slip
dark side?
To the dark side? And it's like he yeah. felt it pulling him, and what if I'm a bad person? And I don't know, it's like, it's funny, are they playing on Star Wars? Are they playing on our Star Wars knowledge that, hey, he could I mean, maybe he could end up being bad, you
he
know?
Could. Well, there was a major Star Wars vibe at the end where Dumbledore and Voldemort were having their battle.
Yeah, that
you know,
scene.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like Vader and Yoda going at it.
Right,
you know?
And even the lightning they used were different colors, like yep. lightsabers. I definitely had a Star Wars vibe there. I actually thought that was better than a lot of most lightsaber battles.
Yeah.
It was really good. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that like you said, Meg, I agree. Like you're starting to learn the field and feel comfortable. And now they throw in a little bit of like, ooh, what if it is Harry? And it's like, did I mention that earlier that Harry kind of looked like Voldemort, his face? And I didn't know if they
you
did that on purpose in an earlier episode. I couldn't remember if it was this or another thing that I was like, maybe. But anyways, but I felt like. Did they do something to his face in some of these scenes to give him that look that Voldemort has with the no nose and everything, and like almost like put Harry into that role?
Nothing stood out.
Well, the
out
mirror,
to me. Yeah.
Him looking in the mirror and his face turned to Voldemort's face.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
that was like.
But
a,
I didn't see anything where they did. I didn't.
They
notice
made
where
him
they
look
did any
snaky.
Alterations.
Yeah.
Sometimes they made his face look snaky. Like I think they put like a. When he would, like, when his body would be contorted, when he was,
yeah.
especially at the
okay.
end when he had the green eyes and Voldemort was speaking through him, that was definitely meant
right.
to be snaky. But I feel like when he, like, contorts his body when he's seeing through Voldemort, his face does look snaky. And, like, maybe they put, like, a green hue on him to
yeah.
make him look sick, too, because he
yeah.
wakes up all sweaty and gross. Like, I think that's also because the snake or the basilisk or whatever is coming and hurting people, and that's what Voldemort is controlling, and Harry sees from the point of view of that snake or Voldemort, whatever, whoever's
right,
doing
right,
it.
Right.
So I think like maybe that could be what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Because I
maybe.
Did see that.
All right. I had a question. I forget what it was. Meg, I know you took notes. What do you got for us? Keep this show rolling.
Actually, so speaking of connecting stories, in our first Pottercast, we were talking about Ron Weasley's dad in the shop and how he was talking to Muggles and he was really excited about it. And
yep,
I told you, Dad, that I thought you would really like his character as you saw it develop. So this was the movie I had actually just seen before we filmed that podcast. So,
oh, okay.
So I was taking from this and I was like, oh, I can't wait for him to see that. And now it's almost a year later and you finally saw it. So in the beginning of this movie, when he's walking through the actual train station with Harry in
yep.
London, and then they go into the ministry through the telephone booth, he's,
yeah.
and he walks through and he's like, oh, like, trains underground, Muggles, they're so smart. And then he's trying to get through the doors and Harry has to take out like his Metro card or whatever and swipe it to let him through. And he's so astonished by it. My favorite part of that is that his job is to know about Muggles and he knows nothing. Like showing up into the Muggle world, he can't figure it out. But that's his job. Like his job in the ministry is like has to do with learning about Muggles and like learning about or like keeping tabs on them or something. But he has no idea what's going on.
He has no idea about the thing he's an expert in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think he's a great character. He's just so funny. He's a very good comic relief throughout the whole thing, as the Weasleys tend to be.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that. That's that whole, like, I didn't know that until you just said it, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have picked up on that. Did you pick up on that, John?
No.
He's a fun character
I remember the scene, but I forgot that that was his job too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. And that's where
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, multiple viewings. Like, well, obviously, how many times have you seen this now, Meg? Because I mean, you just watched today's twice with me.
3.5. Because I watched half of it today with you.
Yeah, you watched half of it with me, and then
yeah,
that's funny that you had just seen it when we recorded that last one, and so that made you got to you had it very fresh. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely my favorite one, and I was excited about getting to talk about it. I also, I got to watch this scene with you today when Harry had just kissed that girl. I always forget her name.
Cho? Yep.
Yeah, when he had just kissed her, and then he was back talking to Ron and Hermione about it. I think my favorite scene out of the whole movie, you could probably the whole series, is the three of them sitting there talking, and Hermione is like, oh, well, the poor girl, like, think about all she's got going on. She's thinking about, she's mourning Cedric's death, and then she's feeling guilty about liking Harry, and then she's also thinking about wanting to kiss Harry, and then she's also got Umbridge threatening to take her mom's job, and she's also learning magic, and Ron looks at Hermione, he goes, one person could not possibly have all of that going on in their head, or like, not possibly feel all those emotions. And she said, just because you have the emotional range of a teaspoon. But that's probably my favorite part. And I pointed it out to you, Dad, and you had said, like, oh, that's probably just all guys. But
that's all guys. Yeah. All guys are like, because he, which was great because Harry went back and told his friends, he's like, I kissed a girl, you know?
Yeah, and then so how was it? And he goes, wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he goes, well, she was crying a lot.
Right.
Which I think that was my first kiss too. She was crying a lot.
Right.
It was a lot of apologizing.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
I can't believe I'm doing this.
There's a lot of negotiating and back alley deals happening and a lot of crying.
Yeah, yeah. I was okay after a while. But
yeah.
but like you're right, Meg, because that's like a girl's thinking like all of these thoughts and like everything that plays into it. And a guy's like, we kissed.
It's wet.
We kissed.
Yep.
That was weird.
That's my favorite scene, just because, like, the blank stares from Ron and Harry, like, I would never have thought of this. And that's pretty much, I think, that's probably the start to a lot of fights between men and women, is just, how could you not have known I was feeling that way? It's like, oh.
Yeah, that dumb look on our faces is there for
one
a reason.
Person, one person can't possibly have that many emotions.
Right, because we have the range of a teaspoon, that's why.
Yeah, I think Ron said, like, they'd explode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's one of the fun things that's, like, you have somebody your age, Meg, but even for John and I, it's like you go over scenes like that, and it's like when we were kids, and you remember feeling that way. And one of the things you were saying earlier about the kids and their ages and how they feel and being alone. And it's like, yeah, kids at that age, they feel alone. And what do adults say to you? Oh, don't worry. Everything you've been through, we've been through. You can talk to me. But it's that age where you feel like you're the only one in the world going through this. But the irony is it's like everybody does, but you still have that mentality. You don't want to talk. So that plays into this whole story, you know, only on a wizard level.
Yeah, and then also on the level that nobody's actually been through what Harry's going through because he's the only one who can do it.
Well, you've never seen Teen Wolf, Meg, mm-mm. have you? With
no.
Michael J. Fox? You saw it, right, John?
Yeah, years ago.
Years ago. And the scene when Michael J. Fox, he's in the bathroom and the father's like, so Michael J. Fox turns into a werewolf. And like, mm-hmm. just all of a sudden he's like going through puberty, and then all of a sudden just poof, he literally just grows all this hair suddenly, and he's panicking. He's in the bathroom as a werewolf, and he's like, I don't know. And his father's outside the bathroom door knocking. Come on, son, you can talk to me. Whatever you're going through, I've been through that. And then the Michael J. Fox goes, I don't think so, Dad. Not yeah. this, not this. And then he finally gets it under control, and he opens the door, and his father's a werewolf. And you, even as the audience, were like, oh, wow. But it's that, yeah. And that played on that. It's like, even a situation like that, it's like somebody else has been through what
Somebody's
you're going through.
Yeah.
And obviously we're seeing that throughout this movie as well. Even the whole idea of Voldemort,
mm-hmm.
he's been around in the past.
Yeah.
Are we seeing that the history is going to repeat itself? That's why a lot of people know what's going on, and they thought he, you know, they thought he died, but now he's now everybody does know by the end of this, he is back.
Mm-hmm.
And only one of them can live. So is this one of those stories that kind of like the Matrix we talked about a little while ago, John, where like the story is, it just keeps coming back around?
Well, I mean, we didn't know that before. We didn't know that only one of them could live before. Voldemort doesn't know that either. That's the prophecy he didn't have. That's what they're saying.
He doesn't know it yet. We know
that,
it
that's
now.
The... Yeah, but that's the prophecy, so he wouldn't have known the prophecy before.
Right. I don't know if Voldemort still knows it at this point.
No.
Because Harry heard the prophecy, but Voldemort did not.
But he didn't hear the full prophecy either, because it shattered right. before he could
that's
finish.
True.
Oh, Harry didn't hear the full one?
No.
No, it okay. wasn't the full thing, because Lucius
right.
had, like, interrupted.
You guys are so
And
good
then it
with
shattered.
The names.
Not really. I sometimes look them up before we start this.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure. I don't want to sound silly.
All right, Meg, let's get to the question that we had, and we stopped ourselves in the middle of the movie from talking about it because we were going to talk about it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the
I forget what
the invisible
called.
Animals that
the,
you could only see if you were dead, if you'd seen
if
death.
You'd seen death.
Do I don't remember what they were called,
but only Harry and Luna can see them. So when the whole group decides to fly to London or to go to London,
I had a John
and Harry
moment.
Harry says, how are they going to get there? And Luna's like, oh, we can fly. So it's like, oh, light bulb, we'll take those weird animals that only those two can see. But Dad and I were looking at each other like, so the rest of the kids can't see what they're flying on? They're flying
yeah.
on invisible to London.
Yeah, like, get on this. Get on what?
Yeah, that was weird because, like, obviously all along they were pulling the carriages, but everybody just thought the carriages were moving
on their
I guess
own.
By magic. They were moving
right.
on their own.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you get to the point where you're flying on the back of something, it's a pretty big leap. It's like the Wonder Woman invisible jet thing, right? It's like
right.
a pretty big leap to be... Like, I guess flying on the back of something that you can't see. And, like, could they see it at that point? But if they could, how were they able to?
I was actually
because...
trying to think if they saw death. Had
no.
somebody died in the movie and now all of a sudden they could see death?
No.
Not until
none of,
Sirius.
Like, Ron or Hermione, they wouldn't have.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't see any of that. So,
but after Sirius died, they could probably all see them.
Oh, really?
Because they were all there
well,
for that.
But is it just... That you saw somebody die or you
mm-hmm.
saw your own death? Like,
no, you
no,
saw somebody die because Luna saw her mother
Luna
die.
Luna saw her mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Ha! I brought something to the show. Luna saw her mom die.
Right.
I feel like...
I'm out.
I also feel like that was...
Mic drop.
I feel like that was such a missed opportunity of a scene too, though. Like, it wasn't an extensively long movie that they couldn't have put a short, funny scene in there of them
Wait,
trying to get
on
those.
Get on
yeah,
what?
Like...
Right.
Yeah, and then them being right. and then them being amazed by them taking off. It could have been a great scene and had a full explanation, but it was just like, oh, we knew at the beginning they can't see anything. We still assume they can't see anything, but they're flying on it. And what
right.
happened? Why can't we all fly on brooms there?
Well, yeah, and I guess the other thing too is like lots of people have seen death. So like don't a lot of other people know that there's creatures
yeah.
pulling the carriages
right
you know
yeah
like, yeah especially at that school you'd think
right.
a lot of people have seen death
At some point, it would come up when somebody said, yeah, the self-driving carriage is coming up, and somebody would say, it's not self-driving, it's got these horses or whatever.
Right, that horse velociraptor thing.
Yeah.
And why was it the first time Harry had ever seen it? Because he saw his parents die as a baby, technically.
Well, maybe he wasn't conscious. Did he remember that, though? Yeah. Like, maybe he wasn't conscious of seeing them dying?
I guess. So now that he saw Cedric die.
But he saw Cedric die. Oh, that's what that's it was. Why, he saw Cedric die, and that's why he could see it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
Probably just couldn't remember his parents. Because he knows his parents died. He knows he was there because people tell him he was there. Like, he doesn't consciously remember it.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. But I'm with Meg. The reason I even brought it up to Meg while we were watching it was I was waiting for that part where they showed one of the other characters, like, their point of view of watching these people just sitting there like they're on a horse, but nothing's under
them. Yeah, and they didn't.
Right.
And I was waiting for that. There was no payoff to it. This is going to be so funny. That'll be so cool. And be like, or what I thought was really, would have been really cool is you take two of those characters and just have them look at each other, like, with while they're not writing anything, and do one of these, like, a shrug to each other, like, I don't know.
Okay.
Go with it. You know, so I agree, Meg. It's a total missed opportunity there. But
well, and I guess just a bit of a plot hole.
And
really,
it wasn't even too long of a movie. Like, the second one we watched, the second movie,
I'm
blanking
on
its name, was awful. Like, it was awful in, like, 2.5 hours. It wasn't awful, but it was just slow in 2.5 hours. Like, this one wasn't even slow. And you had extra time. You just throw it in there.
Yeah.
I also talked about, I think in the last podcast, I started talking about Neville and how I like him as a character and how he's kind of started to become more prominent. And then this time in this movie, we got to learn about his parents.
Yeah, he starts coming into his own in this movie.
Yeah, but it connects to the last movie where we learn that Bellatrix Lestrange used the Cruciatus spell on his parents to torture them. And last movie we talked, or last show of this, we talked about how the person that was Mad-Eye Mooney before, but it wasn't Mad-Eye Mooney, he was pretending to be him.
Doctor Who.
Yes, David Tennant.
Yeah.
I
don't remember what his name was in the show, but it was David Tennant.
But he, remember he made Neville torture? He made Neville use the Cruciatus spell? He made him torture that spider.
Oh, yeah.
In
class. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he made Neville use the Cruciatus spell, and Neville looked like he was gonna, like, cry, and, like, he was so upset about it. Which you would just think, oh, anybody would be upset, you're torturing something. But then this movie, we learn that the Cruciatus spell was used on his parents before they died to torture them for information.
Right over my head. I didn't put any of that together. So
yeah,
so
I
you
did
start
not
to
put all that. Yeah.
So you start to see, like, why he's such a quiet kid and why he has such, like, a tortured past. And people don't even know those are his parents. Like, people don't know.
Yeah, and he said, like, I did pick up on that, and, like, he's a quiet kid because, ironically, his parents never gave
quiet.
It up.
Yeah.
They stayed quiet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. They never gave up the information while being tortured. And, like, you know, and it was a pretty sad scene in this. He's like, I'm really proud of my parents, but I'm not ready for everybody to know they were my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I thought that was, it was sad. I thought it was weird, but I thought that was, you know, really sad. But no, I did not even, I didn't link it to the spider thing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And it's funny because that scene is like you felt the audience, everybody, we talked about it in the podcast, everybody felt bad for that spider and you felt for him. But now, Meg, you bring that up, that's a whole other level of to the movie,
just,
depth of the
like,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you really feel for the kid. And it makes you so sad that, like, imagine, like, that's the spell that was used on your parents. You know, he's the one telling the story too, because it wasn't like when Harry, it's like, oh, Harry was a baby and his parents died. This was like, Neville is telling the story. He's like, this is what happened to my parents. So he's relating the story. So he obviously knew of it then. So I just think it's so sad. But that was a cool connection.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one. That's a really good one. So, this movie had probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire set so far that I talked about that I talked about earlier. But one disappointment, is this the first movie without a Quidditch match?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, I think it is.
They don't even, I mean, they barely do any kind of fly. I mean, they obviously, we mentioned they fly on those creatures, but they barely do any kind of flying. They barely.
Yeah, there's the one scene in the very beginning where they all kind of mount up together, the seven of them, and they fly off.
Right.
But
I think
that's the only broom in the whole movie, really, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I noticed that the brooms had like feet things.
Well, they're all different. Like, well, some of them are like more elaborate than others, but...
Well, when they all were mounting up, it looks like they were going to get on, like, the pogo sticks.
Yeah.
Because they all had, the little foot hooks. I was like,
not all
man,
the Nimbus, the Nimbus 3000s or whatever they're called.
Yeah. But, yeah, no Quidditch, no special, and this movie had some great scenes in it, but nothing
no
like
Quidditch,
that.
Yeah.
A little disappointing.
Yeah, but I don't think Umbridge would probably allow anything as frivolous as Quidditch to go on.
Yeah, no,
she didn't
had a
let
lot
anything
of rules.
Happen.
That's
couldn't
true.
Do anything.
Like the wall of rules was pretty.
I bet Quidditch was up there on pretty the like no yeah. more Quidditch matches.
Yeah,
well, you can't be within 8 feet. Well,
eight inches.
8 inches of another student.
Umbridge social distancing.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, this seems.
She was right. She was ahead of her time.
This seems oddly familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, don't spoil anything, but do I have to deal with her in any other movies, or is she done?
She's gone.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That was the last we saw of her.
The character. I'm sure she's a lovely woman in real life.
Right. But... she's a lovely lady, but yeah, her and her cat plates are gone.
So... Oh.
Yeah.
I did mean to ask that. I didn't even write this one down. Remember how the kids went into her office to use her fireplace for the flume?
Yeah.
When they walked in, that one cat went out the cat door on the plate?
Yeah.
Was that like the cat going to tell her?
I think it was, because then she shows up.
Yeah, then she shows up.
I thought
the
same thing. As soon as they walk in, the cat goes away.
The cat goes away. The big fluffy white cat goes away through the cat door in the plate. And none of them...
I thought,
they're all kind of just sitting there. Like, people don't like... Things don't really leave their frames a lot unless, like, when Dumbledore was saying in his office, oh, go get this person, go tell them that to relay a message. So,
yeah, because I guess they can travel from one picture frame to the other.
Yeah.
Because he said, like, go to your picture frame in such and such place. And,
yeah.
So I don't know where the cat came out, but.
Maybe somewhere in the hall. But I mean, she took away all the picture frames.
Right.
That was sad, too. That made me sad when, the groundskeeper was like tilting the guys out of the picture frame.
They were like,
it was so rude. It was just
like,
so mean.
Oh. Yeah, like emptying them out of the frame.
Yeah, like where
what
do they
going? Pouring and, them
right,
out.
Where do they go?
Yeah, where do they go?
Yeah.
That's what bothered me so much about it. Like, where do they go? And it was such a long time.
That was funny.
Meg's freaking dropping knowledge.
Yeah, I know, dropping bombs on us. I was thinking, you know what I thought was great too? Like, I think Ron is like my favorite character because, like, they find the room, you know, kind of in the middle where they find the room of wanting or needs. I forget what the name of the room is.
The room of requirement.
Yeah, but it like shows you everything that you need, and he immediately goes to like, oh, I guess if I need to go to the toilet, it has a like, I'd be like, oh, it's going to be a room full of gold bricks, right? Because that's what I need. and apple pie. Like, it's going to be half money and half apple pie. I'm going to be like Scrooge McDuck. I'm just going to be swimming in my gold coins with apple pie. And he's like, well, I guess it'll have a toilet. You know?
He's not wrong, though.
No, he's not. But I just thought that was funny. Like, kind of going back to his point earlier that it's like there's no depth at all. He's just like,
right,
all about the basic necessities.
Yeah.
Dad, you really liked today when Ron had gotten everybody, when Ron used the chocolates to trick the people to get all the kids out of Umbridge's office to go meet Harry and Hermione after they had brought her to the woods. And Hermione was like, Ron, that was clever. And she sounded surprised. And they were like, it was brilliant. And he was like, yeah, sometimes it happens. Like, the poor kid.
A broken clock is still raised right twice a year.
Yeah, it's, exactly. The poor kid's like, they were shocked. That's a great idea. It's like, why are you so surprised?
It's because you were talking about a toilet 10 minutes ago. That's why we're surprised.
I have points.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really like the messages in this movie the best so far, too. I feel like they're the most relatable, like how you guys had said earlier in this podcast, like, oh, were they playing on our Star Wars knowledge with that, with Harry feeling like, oh, like, what if I'm bad? Like, I have some of him in me. What if I'm bad? Dad, you had liked what Sirius said. Like, it's not everybody has good and bad in them. It's just what you choose to act upon. And yes. I feel like it's such a human thing, but everybody's so afraid of it and everybody's so afraid to talk about it because we all just want to portray ourselves as good. And you don't want people to know, like, oh, I had this negative thought. I didn't act upon it. I didn't take action on it, but it happens. You have negative thoughts. You have bad thoughts come into your mind, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person with bad intentions. It just, it's human. And the way and how you choose to act is what makes you who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and there's a Dumbledore says that's similar too, right? Because he's focused on all the ways he's similar to Voldemort. And Dumbledore says it's not all the ways that you're similar, it's all the ways that you're different that that matter. So
yeah,
I guess the similar message with that too.
Yeah, and then he says, and then that's how Harry ends the movie, saying like, oh, like, you know what? We have something he doesn't, and that's something worth fighting for. And that's like a good rallying message for everybody, but I feel like it really plays to the whole, okay, now he could totally choose to go it alone and say, the whole world's against me, all these bad things have happened in my life, like, everything's gonna go bad, I'm more like Voldemort than I thought, and I have these negative thoughts, I should just act upon them, but he's choosing to think positively, which isn't easy because he has this like fight back of the bad, and it's hard to choose the good. It's easy to choose the bad, but he's like making the fight to choose the good.
Right. I think getting back to like what Voldemort was saying before about wanting Harry to be alone and feel alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays into what Harry was saying at the end. And I was waiting for him to say it at the end when he said, we have something to fight for, which I thought he would have said is each other. I think it was implied. Exactly. You're left to just, that's just it. Cause it was the group of them together. And that's what separates them from Voldemort is they have each other. But Voldemort wants him to be alone like him. One of those misery loves company. It's like, if I'm miserable, I'm going to make you miserable the same way that. So instead of Voldemort going out and getting some friends, he wants everybody to be miserable instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of a thing. That's one of those messages that we saw that growing up. That we all knew people that were like that. There were kids that were just, they were so unhappy. They wanted everybody to be unhappy. And we have to deal with those people. It's. You know, and I'm not saying deal with those people in the way that like bad. Sometimes you need to learn how to deal with those people. Maybe we can help them or something, you know. And I don't know if that's where this story goes with Voldemort, but
become best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I also love just with that scene in mind when Dumbledore shows up to the ministry at the end when Voldemort's there. I love when he calls him Tom. Because the whole series we have, like, he who shall not be named, and then Harry says Voldemort, and Beatrix is, like, gets really mad. Like, how dare you say that? And she yells. She's like, you half-blood scum or something. She gets so upset because he said his name. And then Dumbledore just comes out, Tom. And he's like, you shouldn't have come here tonight, Tom. And it just takes so much away from it, too. And it takes so much away from his power to just, like, in Tom. Like, what a name. Like, it's not some, like,
it's not Butch.
But it's not some, long, like, British, I don't know, like, Renaissance eloquent name that you're speaking, like, yeah. Or like, even they have like, Bellatrix.
Not even Thomas.
And you have like, and you have like Sirius Black and Bellatrix Lestrange, like all these cool names, and then you're like, right. You shouldn't have come here, Tom. It's like
only,
Eugene.
Only worse would have been
Eugene,
like Bob.
You should have stayed home.
Right.
Yeah.
It really just like it really puts
it
the nail in the
right,
coffin.
It took the power. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really.
See, I didn't think of it that way, but you're right, Meg. It does. It takes them down a notch, like. I didn't think of it that way. I looked at it that's how well he even knows him.
Well, right.
Well, yeah, he knew him since he was a kid.
Yeah. Right.
He took him and in.
It just meant like, you know, like.
The familiarity. Like, yeah, they
exactly.
Were, they have a relationship.
Yeah, but even that relationship should knock him down a notch because he feeds off of being a loner. He feeds off of everyone's been bad to me my whole life and I deserve all the power. I want all the power so I can make them pay for that. But Dumbledore wasn't bad to him his whole life. Dumbledore took right. him in. Dumbledore taught him. And so him kind of like feeding that relationship again to be like, he's talking to him kind of like he's a kid again, saying you shouldn't have done this, Tom. You shouldn't have come here. That.
Yeah, scolding him.
Yeah, that should knock him down back to a little more human emotion too, to be like, oh, this is somebody I know. And I mean, he's quick to just be like, oh, and you'll be dead, but
right.
So it didn't do much, but I think that's kind of the effect it has too,
right?
I think another like kind of lesson they have in the movie is Harry says it while he takes on that teaching role, and he says like every great wizard started right where we are. They started as students, and I really like that, and I think probably because I'm a student right now and I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Every time, like, especially being a nursing student, like, every time you go into the hospital for clinical, you're like, who's trusting me here? And you need people to trust you. You need people to trust you to learn. Like, there's plenty of people that will say, oh, I don't want a student, but then there's probably many more people that are excited to have a student. Because as a nurse, because they can, you can help them learn and you need to teach new people things. But I feel like that's a good thing for everybody to hear sometimes. Like even just picking up a new hobby, say you wanted to play the guitar and it's a hard thing to learn. It's not something you can just pick up and start doing. Like we watched a little
like
bit
podcasting.
Of Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. No, like we watched a little bit of Bruce Springsteen's, Broadway show the other night on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had said he was talking about when he first started guitar lessons when he was 7. And he was like, right. And it was really hard, so I quit because it was hard. And it seems like this, especially as a kid, you're like, I want to do this great thing. Like, guitar players are cool. I'm gonna take guitar lessons. And then you're a few lessons in and you realize you have to start from the basics, and that's
right.
not what
I
you
have
had
to do
envisioned.
A lot of work.
Yeah, and so
when
it's
do
really
I get
hard.
On stage?
Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard, but when you just look at the outcome, it looks a lot easy. It looks like it should be easier.
Wax
so you get
on.
Yeah, so you get fed up yeah. really easily, and it's easy to give up on yourself. So to just hear sometimes like, oh, everybody starts as a student. Everybody starts by learning. That's just I feel like that always puts you in a good place to hear that, and then. Give yourself some credit, like, oh, I do know some things, and I can
yeah.
and I can build upon those.
That's a tough lesson that John and I know. That's a tough lesson that you learn. It's one thing when you're a kid and you're learning mm-hmm. that stuff, and like you're a student right now. But it's as an adult, mm-hmm. you'll realize that you'll be 30, 40 years old, and you'll be like, oh, I gotta start something, and you're like, yeah. but I want to get to mm-hmm. this part. You know, I'm sure John went through that opening your store.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to yeah. open a store, you know, or like, and I wasn't joking. Like, we wanted to do a podcast and we joke, we're like, oh, we'll just record it and we'll put it out, right? No.
Yeah.
It's like,
you want to jump to the middle.
Yeah, exactly. You just, no, and everything.
I've had my store for 5 years and I still want to jump to the good part. So,
exactly.
I want to jump to the part where I'm consistently making money and don't have to worry anymore.
Yeah, well.
Maybe one day I'll get there.
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing. So,
yeah.
Someday. That's why they call it rest in peace, buddy.
Right.
Oh, I made that joke the other night. I go, yeah, men came up with rest in peace. Women came up till death do us part.
Right.
So, but anyways, back to Harry Potter. So where does this movie leave us? Obviously, it are we calling this the Avengers? Because they're all together now and everybody knows that Voldemort is around. They're all on the same page. They're going to have a great summer and come back to school with gusto and ready to battle again. Is that how this is going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know. Like, does everybody know that Voldemort's back? Like,
it was in the
know.
Paper.
Yeah, they put it in
true.
The paper.
That's true. It was in the paper. Like, okay.
I don't know. Does not everybody? Maybe everybody doesn't
maybe
read the paper.
Maybe they don't read the
but,
paper. Like, right. I don't read the paper, so.
But they had the whole
although
spinning
if I
papers
had
news, and stuff.
If I had newspapers that were basically, like, showing me a movie while I was watching it,
well,
I
you
kind of
do.
It.
It's called an iPad.
That's true. That's YouTube.
Or.
But. Yeah, exactly.
Or the news channel.
Yeah.
This
is CNN.
That's your movie newspaper.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, I like when the minister comes in at the end and sees a glimpse of Voldemort and he goes, oh, he's back. Like, and he, the whole movie had been the one saying he's not back. That was like, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, he didn't go, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah,
exactly.
He didn't,
I guess he thought he just came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even I said out loud, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
everybody's been trying to tell you. It's too bad Harry was weak on the floor for that because I wish he could just look him in the eye and be like,
Yeah.
What? Duh. But the thing is what did they think happened to?
They just said it was a tragic accident or something. Like
he slipped
they were
just
writing
denial.
It off. Yeah, they were just writing it off. Well, because again, it's easy to say. Like if somebody told you that like the Dark Lord was coming back. Like, would you just automatically believe that? You know what I mean? Like, think about it in real-world terms. You would want to look for a rational explanation for why something happened. You wouldn't go to this. You wouldn't go to the supernatural,
well,
you know? So I think – now, again, they're in a world full of magic, so the supernatural is kind of their thing. But it's always easier to look for, you know, a practical explanation than to believe that the devil is coming back to haunt you.
Well,
you know?
They believed he was gone, too, like dead.
Right.
Because they, like, even we don't, at this point in the movie, fully understand how he came back. Obviously, we know it was through magic, but there's a lot more at play there to kind of fall out throughout the next few movies. But they don't get that. So if somebody, like, that's like, I was going to say, that's like somebody telling you George Washington came back, but I guess he's a lot older. But I don't know, imagine somebody's been gone for 14.
Prince is back.
Yeah, right, for like, you know. Somebody's been gone
Michael Jackson.
For 14
Elvis.
Years.
How many times did Elvis come back?
True.
Yeah, so imagine somebody's been gone for 14 years and then all of a sudden people are like, he's back. A 14-year-old kid is like, he's back. You're like, good one. Yeah. And it explains, and to them, I mean, technically, I think it's probably more credible from Harry Potter because everybody knows who he is. He's the boy who lived and everybody's got, like, knows his name, so it's, it should be more credible coming from him, but for him, that could also look like, okay, saying Voldemort did it covers up Cedric's death. Well, maybe it was an accident in the games. It also covers up his Patronus spell in front of Muggles because he's saying there were Dementors there, but if the Ministry didn't send the Dementors, Voldemort did. So, but the Ministry is in denial, and they're saying, well, we control the Dementors, and we didn't send them. He was just using magic willy-nilly. That's an easy cop-out explanation for him to say.
Well, right. It could be a blanket excuse to do anything you want. Carte blanche to do whatever you want.
Exactly.
And then you say, well, it's Voldemort. Voldemort's back, you know?
Yeah, they could and he's been gone forever, and they don't think that there's a way he can come back because they've never seen it before. And, I mean, a lot of things he does you've never seen before, so it should be in the back of their minds that it could happen, but they just kind of want to live in denial. And it gets political. You get to kind of see that there is politics in this world because the minister thinks that Dumbledore's using this to try and take his position, so he's thinking it's all political when it's not.
No, and one of the things we hadn't mentioned is this the first one where Dumbledore really comes out and is like, I'm backing Harry?
Yeah.
All the previous ones, he was
kind of like shadow backing him, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, and trying to be neutral, but you could tell he was like a little bit of a favorite. And now in this one, he like flat out, he knows the whole backstory. He needs to back. He's like, we're going to actually probably go to battle together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, especially that scene where he stood up for Harry and was like, no, this was all my idea, when it wasn't. But
right. Well, and they all know that there's more to what's going to happen to him than he does, because they even say right in the very beginning when they're all having their meeting, they're like, he's too young to know all this. Like, they all kind of know that he's going to be, that he's important, and they're backing him, but it's how much knowledge they want to divulge to him at any given time, you know?
Right.
I guess because he's 14 and like, you don't want to dump all this.
Oh yeah.
All this pressure, well, and responsibility.
Harry said that. He asked him, why didn't you tell me this stuff? And he's like, for the same reason that, and I can't remember what he said, we didn't, or you saved Sirius or something. He goes, but I didn't tell you because I care about you.
Right.
I didn't want you to have to deal with this.
I like how much style Dumbledore has in this one.
How much style he has?
Yeah.
The comment when they try to take him to Azkaban and he does the clap with the phoenix and disappears. Yeah. And the guy says to the minister, like, I know you may not like Dumbledore, but you gotta admit, he's got some style.
Yeah.
And then he like floats right in from the flume to fight to fight Voldemort. He's really cool in this one.
He is.
It's that breaking authority look, like, oh, now he's cool.
Right.
And like you said, John, in like the first or second episode, you'll forget he's the second Dumbledore too.
Right. Right, but he's cemented into the role at this point because
by now, right?
Yeah,
they did a really good job at recasting it too.
Well, they did.
I mean, it's almost seamless.
Yeah, they did.
I think if we remember, Meg didn't even notice.
I had no idea.
Yeah, she hadn't. But yeah, because it's a lot of makeup. So I mean, it's you just kind of put one guy in a long
beard. Yeah, a lot
beard.
Of hair. Yeah, the facial hair is. So. Yeah.
Hey, we have stunt doubles in movies all the time, and I never know if there's a stunt double.
Like I said, I knew because I knew. Like I remembered it happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So I already knew to be looking for it, but I don't know if I would have. I might have just gone along with it too if I didn't know the story.
Yeah. Hey, how about Hagrid?
Yeah.
With the steak on his face.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
I think it was at Greg.
It's like an old 50s sitcom thing, right?
Yeah, it was an old. That was like a old wives' tale remedy for a black eye. Put a steak on your face, and it was. You don't see that anymore.
No.
And I thought it was funny. You had the steak.
It's a waste of a good steak, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, you could still eat it. You got to cook
it. That's
true. But as long
as he gave it to the dog.
Yeah.
Right. But I said to Meg, I go, is that a steak in his hand? And she's like, yeah, it's for his face. I was like, oh, I know that. I get that.
I know that. It was on the Flintstones.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. Yeah.
How did you like Hagrid's brother?
Yeah.
He was the sympathetic animal in this one. It's like, it seems like everyone has a sympathetic way. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, he was.
You know?
Well, and it was a little bit of a King Kong, Beauty and the Beast thing with him and Hermione.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love the bike belt, but it's the whole handlebars.
Right, but when he's holding it, it's like
it's the, this little thing. Yeah. He's like, ding, 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 ding. And then he gives it to her, and she's like, ding, ding.
Yeah, because I don't think we ever see him again either. Like, he doesn't up in any of the movies after this either, so it was kind of like an introduction, but why, you know, because it doesn't pay off.
Yeah, so. Well, he did serve a purpose.
Well, he did.
I mean, he did serve a purpose, and they shot one arrow into his arm, and that was sad. That was that, like I said, that sympathetic, where you're
right, but that's just like a, you know, the lion stepping on a thorn kind of thing, you know, he just like... plucked it out and moved on.
That was funny though, because he picked it out and then he realized, like, oh, I don't want to be holding this lady, so he just shrugs and drops her, like, nah.
Yeah.
All done. Dad, you actually got scared by Creature in this one.
Creature?
Yeah, Creature's the black house elf.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He was standing behind a door and Dad got scared by him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he jumped.
I was like,
didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah.
He's not as nice as Dobby, that's for sure.
Well, that's what I said. I'm like, is he related to Dobby or anything, or is he just the same kind of species?
Well, only in the sense that you and I are related. They're just
that's
the
what
same
I just
species.
Said. Yeah. Yeah, same species. That's all. I was like,
he's not gone though. He's. I think that's just his introduction.
Oh, creatures. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Creature.
Does Dobby come back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dobby comes back.
Okay, because he wasn't in this one. I didn't miss
no,
that,
he wasn't
right?
in this one. I don't think he was in...
He wasn't in the last one
He
either.
Hasn't been
yeah,
in
he was
a
just
few.
In number two, right? I think he was only in the second one.
Yeah, and that now... Well, he's free. Dobby's
right.
free.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's free because he
he's
has a sock.
He's kind of doing his own thing.
But,
he got a sock. Oh,
but
no,
he comes
we've...
back, right?
Yeah, we saw him after he was free. I think we saw him after he was free. Maybe
was
we
he
didn't.
Been in another movie
it.
Since then?
Was he in Never London mind. Or something?
Never mind.
No,
I don't want to spoil
saying...
it unless I thought we all saw it together. But if we didn't, then I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I think it's
okay.
coming.
But yes, Dobby does come back.
Yeah.
It's not
all right, cool.
You, yeah. Love Dobby.
So last episode, we saw multiple schools. Last
yeah.
episode, I say. Multiple schools, so that gave us the idea that there was more than just Hogwarts and this is a larger world.
Right.
Is this the first time that, like, they all traveled outside and, like, went to London? Other than the beginning and that they all go home to their places.
Right.
Yeah.
But is this the first time, like, they've actually traveled to the real world as wizards during the school
well,
year?
I think so.
I don't think they...
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, they go to...
London in this one.
Yeah, well, because I'm saying in the first one, they go to Diagon Alley, right, as a field trip.
Yeah.
But that's, like, the only other time we really have seen them leave
but
the school.
But that's not even, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, right, that wasn't the real world. It was still Wizard World.
Well, if
so,
you
yeah,
think about it,
probably...
they're technically not allowed to use magic still outside of Hogwarts because they're
right.
students. So, I mean, this is, like... Desperate times call for desperate measures, but
right.
they wouldn't have thought to do it before. They wouldn't have gone to London just to do some magic,
so,
and they didn't know that there were people there for them.
Thank you, Meg.
You're welcome.
I had a question over an hour ago, and I forgot what it was, and now it's back. So let's start the show again. So
all
at
right.
the beginning of this, at the
sure,
beginning,
we'll just throw away the last hour and a half and start over.
No. So at the beginning of this, Harry has to use magic during the summer.
The Patronus right. spell.
Yep. And he uses it on, what are those, the creatures you said, Meg?
The Dementors.
The Dementors.
And you're not allowed to use this magic.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but there were Dementors there, and but you are allowed to use it in a life-saving situation or whatever, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you can't prove that there were Dementors there.
Right.
I think I know where you're going with this.
My immediate argument was, well, you can't prove there weren't. So,
well, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But, all right, if the Dementors weren't there, what did I use my magic on?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. What was the purpose of casting the spell?
On what?
Right.
Exactly. And how do they know mm-hmm. he cast a spell?
Well,
casted? Is that
well,
a word?
They think that they can technically prove that there weren't Dementors there because they control the Dementors. And
right.
to say that there were Dementors there, they would be accepting
right.
that Voldemort is back, and they don't accept that.
Right. But what are they saying? What are they accusing him of doing? Just throwing spells willy-nilly into the air?
Probably.
Then how would
right,
you know?
But he would have needed to... Because that's a defensive spell, right? Like the
right.
That's a, so what he would have had to have been casting it to defend himself against
from
something.
And something
right.
magical.
Right. So
right, because
like,
I get well, I guess would because you wouldn't
do you see
cast
what I'm saying?
It to defend yourself from two muggers, right? Like I don't think you would cast it
no.
against muggles. So
and
it
I
would
think,
have to be something magical in nature that was threatening him.
But
so.
I think this plays into the politics of it as they're saying, like, well, we didn't send them so they weren't there, and the minister already doesn't like Harry because he thinks Dumbledore's using him to like form an army to overthrow his position. So this is an easy expulsion for him to get him away from Dumbledore to say,
well,
like,
right, but I guess it's not the first time he's been caught using magic out of school because he got caught sending his aunt.
Yeah, he
like,
flew his
inflating
aunt into
her
the
and
sky,
flew her away.
Into the
but
sky,
he didn't get expelled for that. So it's like, why now?
Did they know about that, though?
Well, somebody knew about it.
I thought
they
Dumbledore
had to
knew about
do,
that. Or...
They had to do some damage control to get her back.
True.
So
deflator.
Right. And I think that happened at the ministry too, because that wasn't that like the first time you went to the ministry.
Well, maybe because that was the one where Prisoner of Azkaban, I thought he was going to end up in prison.
I guess maybe that was his one freebie, and now he's getting expelled for this one. But
yeah.
Maybe that was before the minister hated him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like something has changed, I guess, because he's been caught using magic before,
mm-hmm.
and he did. You know, he wasn't going to get expelled for it. So
yeah, but Harry's also
just a bad dude.
And I guess the other thing too is like, what's the point of expelling him at this point? Like, he's
you're
not
a
gonna,
wizard,
right? He's not going to not be a wizard anymore. Like, yeah. he's right. not going to not use magic anymore. So by expelling him, basically, you're just leaving an untrained wizard in the world.
Right.
Instead of somebody that you can mold and teach the way to do things. So
right.
I don't understand that the logic there at
all.
Kind
of like because, Ahsoka. She's not a Jedi.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It's like you're expelled, but I'm not taking your wand away or anything. So he's still going to be a wizard.
Yeah.
School doesn't make him that. He was a wizard before he went there.
That was the other thing. You can't use him under 18.
Under 18. 17, I think, is what – I think they said 17. But
so once you turn 18, there you go.
Yeah, because the two older Weasleys can go out and do whatever they want because they were 18 already.
Yeah. And they had a pretty nice prank, I guess you would call
fireworks
it.
Yeah.
The fireworks
display
indoors.
Cool, yeah. They're fun, those two.
They are.
I like – I love Ginny Weasley.
Yeah.
And we get to see her – become kind of, I don't know if you picked up on it, but she's pretty powerful. Like, she's kind of an underplayed Weasley. Like, we don't see much of her
because
she's like
the
youngest girl.
She was the first one that cast the Patronus spell in the room, right?
Yeah, she cast the Patronus spell in the room, and she was like, Harry was saying, oh, it's harder to do a full Patronus, but like small defensive ones can still help you. And she produced a full Patronus right there, and then she
that's a tequila spell.
Patronus.
Yeah.
Every time you guys say a Patronus spell, I'm like,
you're thinking of
I've
tequila.
Been under a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm under a Patronus spell right now.
And then at the ministry with all of the prophecies, I forget what that room's called. It's like the mystery room. She casts the spell that like shoos the last Death Eater.
Right.
Shoos him away. And then like she's pretty powerful and she's kind of underplayed because she's the youngest Weasley, but.
Yeah, well, again, spoilers, I guess, but she has a bigger role.
Yeah,
she
has a bigger role going forward, but yeah. To this point, she's been kind of like a
to this
like
point,
side
she's
character.
Been the little sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she comes into her own as well. So.
Yeah.
Which I like about, because a lot of them do, right? Like, it's called Harry Potter, but like all of these characters have a like an arc where they grow through
mm-hmm.
all of these movies, which is really cool. Because, you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen with the side characters, but. You know, we've already talked about Neville, and we've already, you know, now we're talking about Ginny, and they all kind of have an arc
mm-hmm.
through these movies.
Yeah.
What's his name? Draco has a pretty interesting arc through the last couple of movies as well.
Yeah. He wasn't very prominent in this one.
He wasn't in this one very much. He was just kind of like the henchman, you know?
Yeah.
The snitch. But, like, he has an arc also. So, like, they really do a good job with a lot of these characters, I think, in this series.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's because you get to see them as kids, too, and so much changes. And so, right. like, and you do really become, like, you turn into a human being. Like,
right.
through the year, like, the years that we're following them through, you actually become your own person. So, it's cool to see. It's cool to watch. It's fun to watch because we do have so many movies.
Yeah, and speaking of which, the next one is what? Is that that's the Half Blood Prince? Harry Potter.
Six,
it's
right?
Six is the Half Blood Prince.
Because the 7 and 8 are the Deathly Hallows 1 and 2.
One and two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we really only have what 2 movies left? But the second
technically,
one
technically, yes.
Yeah.
And I guess when we do the show, are we? You know, are we going to split it up? Or
I think we should. I mean, they're both movies.
But yeah, they're two separate movies.
Well, and it was split up in real life. It was split up by a year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were both a year apart. So,
it was like Endgame.
Yeah, Yeah, actually. Yeah, I think I'm actually going to try to watch the next one twice. I'll watch it and then
watch
and
it
then
like and now watch and it. Then watch it again.
Yeah, and try to maybe because there's you guys know that I'm like I'm all lost in the names of like the Dementors and the Death Eaters.
Death Eaters.
Death Eaters are the ones that follow Voldemort.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Bellatrix and Lucius. Yeah. And
when I'm watching the movie, I get which ones are which. I just mm-hmm. all these
just
names.
Don't remember all the names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Is that it, Meg? Plan. Do you have any other points that you have written down that you'd like to speak on?
I think we hit all my points.
Nice. How about you, John? Did we hit all your points?
I don't take notes, so I don't have any points. I'm the counterpoint.
Yes, you are. Yep. I know you've. I know this is wizardry, but you're very good at this one.
Why
you're enjoying
that?
This series. You're not.
Oh, I like it. Yes.
You're not poking holes. You're not like, come on, how did that happen?
Well, because it's all magic, right? It's easier to go with it because there's no real science mixed in, so you're not trying to.
John, like, poke all holes magic in is a science that is yet to be explained.
That's true.
Come on.
I imagine it's probably not fun to have DJ and DJ Junior yelling at you back, though, about your plot holes.
I know.
arguing back at you.
Yes. He does argue.
Who, yeah. me?
He's like all innocent over there.
No. All right. Hey, how are you guys
doing? I thought I would have to be, you know, to be disagreeable, but I don't hold a candle to you. So.
Can I edit this out?
Yeah. No, because this didn't even come from me. It came from your own daughter, so I feel vindicated.
You're not going out on a limb there, buddy.
No.
Saying I'm prone to argue. No, that's not a stretch by anybody's.
No.
But like I say, it takes two.
It does. It
prone does. To play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah,
you. Yes, you.
Not me.
No.
All right.
You're like talking to a wall. Can't have a conversation with you about anything.
Yep.
Like 2 seconds.
Oh,
and
man,
then I'm
I
done.
Feel really good right now. You have no idea. I'm really enjoying this part of the show.
Oh. John, when are we going to get one of your kids on?
Yeah.
Dropping stuff on you. Don't worry. It's nothing I haven't heard before and I don't know.
Yep.
And you know what's funny about John is John's the exact same way.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said it takes two, it takes
one to know one.
Yeah.
Because
if I just like said, okay, then all the steam would be right out of your argument.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And I've always said that. I'm like, I don't argue with people I don't care about because if I don't care what you're saying, I'll be
exactly.
like,
I don't care about your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. But if I care about you and I think you're wrong, I'm going to tell you.
It's for your own good.
Right.
I'm trying to make sure you don't make the same mistake again.
Right. Yeah, you need to see things correctly. My way. Right, Meg?
Yeah, then you raise me to do the exact same thing.
I'm not arguing. I'm just explaining to you why you're wrong.
Yeah. Let me tell you why your opinion is wrong.
Yeah.
You raised me to do the exact same thing, though, so the two of us will just stand there.
I know. Yeah. I didn't raise you that way. It just ended up that way.
Right, it's just osmosis. It just is the trickle down economics.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to go to leave for school in the morning, and I'd be like 40 minutes late by the time I got out the door, and I walk into school and be like, sorry, I got into a conversation with my dad.
Right. Yeah.
It made kindergarten rough.
Yeah.
That was when I could win the argument.
Yeah.
Once she hit first grade, it was all downhill.
Yeah.
When she could read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. She knows facts. All right. I think that's enough bashing of DJ for this week.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll bash John. Please, you if you have anything to bash John with, tweet at us.
I can see that. I'm just waiting for those texts or tweets.
You can email us some bashing at thebrightsidechat at gmail.com. Don't reserve them for John. Send them for me, too.
Yeah.
Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. We could use a few of those. And if you want to send some bashing on Meg, too, that's fine. Great. That'd be fun.
I take constructive criticism and edible arrangements.
There you go. Yeah.
Is that it for this week?
I think so.
All righty. John and I will be back on Thursday. John, what do we got coming up this week? No DC books. No.
Well, we do. We have Dark Knight's Death Metal, number one, coming out. That's actually a pretty big book. I won't be promoting it all in my store, but I will have
but
them.
But you just did. But
yeah. Oh, I'm just letting you know they're coming. I'm not endorsing them one way or the other. And then Wind, number one, from Boom, the James Tinian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Book. Comes out next week, so I'm.
That's the early release one, right?
It was a quick release, like from announcement to release. It seems like we just heard about it like 2 weeks ago.
I thought it got bumped up. I thought I read that it got bumped up a few months.
But yeah, that was one of those really quick turnarounds. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading that because I like Tinian and I like Boom. So
yeah. Oh yeah, can't go wrong with that combination, Meg. I appreciate you flying down here to surprise me like this, but can we fly home together? Maybe we'll have a couple arguments on the plane.
There you go.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Meg, thanks for sitting in. You actually brought the knowledge to this. John and I would be... What did we do? One, John, without her? I think we did one back in November without her.
Well, we did one of the movies. I don't think
that's what I mean.
Was it the first movie, though?
No, it was November.
It had to have been, like, the third one.
It was the third movie.
Yeah,
because we did the fourth one together and now this, so...
Yes, it was, because we got in the argument about Hermione and her time travel.
That's
nonsense.
Right.
And then Meg came in and vindicated me once again. Yeah. So...
Again, my opinion was wrong.
Yeah. But you argued it.
That's my opinion. You told me I was wrong. Here we go. Okay, let's go.
Anyways,
we're out of here. Meg, we got a flight to catch. Let's go. Thanks, Meg. Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.